All right. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, praise team, for leading us today in our singing. Church, good morning. Please turn your Bibles to Luke in chapter 11, if you will. Luke in chapter 11. Well, welcome to this first Sunday after the start of school here in Amarillo. Most of your children have begun school this week. Hope that it's been an encouraging week. Hope that it's been an exciting week. And that there's a great, great anticipation for what is to come. You know, most of us love the summertime. We like the warm weather. We like the more relaxed schedule. We like the vacation time that many of us are able to take during the summer. We like to swim, which really you can only do here around summertime. But generally, when the summer comes to an end, both parents and kids are kind of ready for the routine of schoolwork again, right? For the routine of just being part of something and working towards something and frankly, just having something to do. Actually, by the end of summer, most kids have mastered the art of getting bored, right? Like they've just kind of come to that. They've kind of come to that place. And in God's providence, as kids are getting bored, I think parents at the same time have exhausted their creative energies and maybe their patience as well. And they are ready for that. The question that's always asked, Mom, Dad, what can I do when school comes? You always have an answer, right? Do you have homework that you need to be doing? Right, we could be moving them in a direction. You know, kids get persistent with the way they ask about things. Kids have ideas of how they want to move towards something. Kids get persistent. They have this idea in their mind, and then they continually move towards that idea, involving the parent at times in the way that the parent needs to be involved. And we've grown accustomed to that. As parents, we grow accustomed to that. Sometimes we think it's a negative thing, but actually in Scripture, so often persistence is seen as a virtue, especially when it comes to prayer. Like we persist in prayer. We persist in moving towards God. We persist in asking God for that which we need. This morning, we're going to take a look at Jesus' teaching on prayer from Luke chapter 11. And we're going to see that persistence is a good thing, especially when it describes our pursuit of God in prayer. So would you stand as we read together in Luke chapter 11? Luke chapter 11, we're going to begin here in verse 5 and read through verse 13. Luke 11, 5 through 13. And he, that is Jesus, said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For whoever asks receives, and whoever seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray together. Lord, today your people are gathered. And today, again, we recognize our great need for your grace. Today, Lord, as we are here in this room, as brothers and sisters are unable to be with us and are watching from their living rooms, Lord, we together declare that we need your grace. So God, today, as we seek you, as we worship you, as we hear from you, we pray that it is your Spirit that is speaking to us. We pray that we will come to the realization that when we look to your word, and when we humble ourselves before your word, it's you who is speaking. So God, remove distraction and help us to seek you. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated, church. Verses 1 through 4 of chapter 11, we have Luke's recording of what we know as the Lord's Prayer. You know, so often when we think of the Lord's Prayer, we go to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel and we look to that version or that recording of it there. But Luke also records it here. And in verses 1 through 4, in response to the disciples asking him to show them how they can pray, to teach them how to pray, Jesus gives what is the model prayer. But he doesn't stop there at the model prayer. No, he continues, and he continues with the very things that we just read there in verses 5 through 13, giving greater or more principles for prayer. Now, before we get started, let's just agree on something. If anyone is going to ask anyone how they ought to pray, Jesus is the right person to ask. Right, Jesus is the Son of God, and in his life, over and over again, we see it modeled that he would retreat from the crowds. He would retreat even from his closest friends, and he would go off by himself and he would pray. He would go off by himself and he would humble himself before the one true and living God, and he would commune with God, and he would seek God's power and grace and refreshment, and he was led by the Spirit, right? He made time for this. The Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus, fully God and fully man, felt it necessary to pray. And the disciples saw this. The disciples saw that Jesus was praying. He was a praying person. So they said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." How important is it, friends, that we recognize the importance of prayer? And as we recognize the importance of prayer, and as we practice prayer, let's learn from Jesus. And in these verses, he gives us, I see, three principles for prayer. The first is this, that we are to pray with humble audacity. We're to pray with humble audacity. So Jesus tells us this story of a midnight visitor, okay? There's actually kind of two visitors in this story, but the story of the midnight visitor is teaching us to pray with humble audacity. I know what you're thinking. Humble audacity? How do you put those two words together? I mean, someone who is humble, we don't see them as audacious, right? The word audacity, we don't oftentimes have positive associations with that word or positive connotations. We think, how do they have the audacity to do that? But what we see here in this little illustration that Jesus gives is the idea of humble audacity. The word audacity itself means fearless daring or aggressive boldness, right? The word translated there, impudence in the Greek, verse 8, is used to describe this midnight visitor who goes to his neighbors and knocks on the door. That word could be translated as shamelessness or audacity or in some cases even reckless. So maybe you're thinking, well, how could that be humble? I mean, I see the audacity going to your neighbor's house at midnight and banging on the door. I can see that, but how is this humble? Well, let's just take a step back. The fact that he recognizes that he does not have what he needs, the fact that he recognizes that he cannot provide what is required of him is humility. He is recognizing that he doesn't have it in and of himself to get there, to bring what is necessary. So he goes and he asks. And that's the context of prayer, right? It's humility. It's us coming to God and saying, we can't do it. We don't have the energy. We don't have the strength. We don't have the wisdom. We don't have the ability. We don't have the power. We don't have the know-how. We don't have the resources. We don't have the capability. Whatever it is, we're recognizing that we lack what we need. So we go to someone, we go to our great God who is the giver of good gifts, who can provide. We go to the one who has promised to care for us. Pride would have kept this midnight visitor from asking. Pride would have said, oh, I'll try to take care of it on myself. Frankly, pride would have kept the visitor from wanting to serve the person who was knocking on his own door in the first place. So here's the setting, right? It's late at night and you hear a banging on your door. Now that doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen now and then. Amy and I lived in Chester, South Carolina. We lived in a parsonage there. And there were times, multiple times, that in the middle of the night, we would hear banging on our door. And we didn't live in a good neighborhood, okay? So whenever there was a banging on the door in the middle of the night, it was always a little fearful thing. So after I would rebuke myself for pretending to be asleep, so Amy would have to go get the door, okay? Then I would get up, I would, you know, try to figure it all out and... okay, I'll go to the door. You know, since we live in Texas, I know you'd have your handgun with you right then. You'd be going to the door. You'd get there. You'd see it. Oh, it's just your neighbor. Now, depending on which neighbor it is, you may put your handgun away. I don't know. But here we are. So that's the scene, right? And this person has been traveling all night long, all day long, late into the night. And now there is an expectation in this culture, there's an expectation that you would show hospitality. That you would put that person up for the night, that you would feed that person, you would care for that person, you would protect that person, okay? So that's the context of what's taking place here, right? People traveled by walking. Some had animals they could travel with, but not many. And they would walk to where they were going. And they didn't want to walk in the heat of the day, so they may start later in the day and walk well into the night. And it was an expectation that you or that your community would show hospitality to people. So someone knocks on the door, you go to the door, and you don't have anything to show hospitality. So what are you going to do? Well, you're going to do what any normal Jewish person would do at that time. You'd go to your next door neighbor and start banging on his door and ask them, hey, do you have a loaf of bread and some peanut butter and jelly that I can have so I can show hospitality to this person? That's just how it worked back then. Well, the initial response would be as we would expect. Someone comes to your house. Now you go return the favor. You go to someone else's house, ask for food. And there's not a great reception, right? What are you doing? I mean, look at what time it is. And I can't get up and do this. And I can't open the door because I'm going to wake everyone up. I mean, these houses weren't big, right? Maybe one room with a little side room where maybe some of the animals slept. And I'm going to wake everyone up. Now notice that these guys were neighbors. They were friends. That's what Jesus says. But it wasn't the friendship factor that secured the help. No, it was the man's impudence. It was his audacity. He was humble. He went and asked. But it was his fearlessness, his persistence, even his shamelessness to go and to seek and to persist in asking for this. This is what secured the help. Jesus, friends, is teaching us to pray in the same manner. He's teaching us to pray in the same manner. We're invited to pray with humble audacity, to present our needs to God, to recognize our inability to provide for ourselves, to recognize that we don't have what it takes, but that He is the giver of all good gifts. So we're to go to Him and we're to seek Him and we're to ask. And at the end of the day, what we're seeing here is that if a sleepy and hesitant friend will answer a request, how much more will the good and perfect Father? How much more will the sovereign God? Such praying, friends, shows our dependence on God and shows our ability to trust, shows our willingness to trust in His ability to answer prayer. So let me ask you, is your prayer life characterized by humble audacity? Is your prayer life characterized by humble audacity? Do you recognize your desperate need? And are you humble and bold enough to ask God to provide for your needs? Friends, God does not grow weary of you asking him to help. He doesn't grow weary of that. He longs for that. In fact, he is glorified. He is exalted when his people recognize who they are and who he is. He longs to lavish his mercy and his grace upon us, his children. Will we ask him? Will we seek him? Secondly, pray with humble confidence. Pray with humble confidence. That's what we see there in verses 9 and 10. Jesus tells his disciples to keep asking, right? To keep seeking, to keep knocking. And it's not just a suggestion. I mean, you can imagine the disciples there go to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, Master, can you teach us how to pray? I mean, we see in your life this intimacy, this oneness with the Father, and we want to pray. We want to learn to pray. We want to have that connection. Will you teach us? And then could you see Jesus saying, well, you know, sometimes when I want to try something new, I just try this new method of prayer. I'm going to ask, I'm going to seek, I'm going to knock. No, that's not what it is. He's not just giving us some kind of a new technique or new suggestion. In fact, he's imploring us to keep on keeping on when it comes to prayer, to persist in this, but to do so with confidence, right? The verbal forms of ask and seek and knock suggest that we are to continue in this. Now look, just like before, the very fact that Jesus tells us to ask and to seek and to knock points to the fact that we don't have what it takes. That's the humility piece. Like, we need something that we can't provide for ourselves. We're lacking, but God isn't. So we ask. And we ask God because we believe that he's able to answer, right? We ask God because we believe that he's able to answer. When you ask someone for something, you ask people who you think can help, right? I mean, just think about this. We have three dogs now. We got a puppy again a little while ago. I know. And if I needed help training this puppy, if I wanted tips to train this puppy, I would not ask Gary Hendrickson or Derek Hall. And I love both of them, okay? But they don't have dogs. I don't even know if they like dogs. Take it up with them, okay? But here's the deal. If I need help training a dog, I'm going to go to someone who I believe knows what they're doing when it comes to training a dog. That makes sense, right? Who are we asking? We're asking the God of all glory. We're asking the sovereign one. We believe that he is able to respond, that he's able to help. So we ask. And seeking implies that we believe that God is going to answer our prayers. So we're going to look for his answer. We're going to seek. We're going to look. So let's take an example. We're asking God to provide for us our next music and worship pastor. We've asked, we continue to ask, we are asking you to ask, right? We're trying to involve the church in asking. And now we're seeking. How do we seek? Well, we've networked and we've put it out there on job boards and we're trying to connect with people who may know people and we're seeking. We believe God is going to answer our prayer. We've asked, so now we're seeking. How is God going to answer this prayer? We're not just sitting around doing nothing. It may seem that way sometimes, but we're actively looking for the answer, seeking the answer that God is giving. And then we're knocking, right? Knocking includes previous aspect of asking and seeking, but also something else, right? It is the idea of expectancy. It's the idea of confidence. Consider the music and worship pastor position, right? It'd be weird if we've asked and then we've got this, you know, set of 50 resumes over here and we said, we're just gonna let them sit there. Our committee's over here doing whatever. We're just going to let them sit there. We're not ever going to look through them or check them out or anything like that. No, no. What the next step is we're knocking, we're seeking, right? We're seeking, we're looking, we're knocking. Is this the one? God, is this the person that you provided? Is this the one you're leading us to? Is this the one that is to come here, is to be part of this church, is to become part of this staff? We're confident. We're going to walk through doors until God closes doors. We're humble. We're asking. We're seeking. We're knocking. But we're confident. And we're continuing to check things out until God ultimately provides. And the great thing about God is that his promise that he will answer, right? We pray expectantly, we can be confident, and God's word is true. That's the whole point of verse 10. Now, Jesus' words are not meant to pin God into a corner so we can manipulate him. He's not saying that whatever we ask for, God's going to give, no matter what. That's not a blank check type of a prayer request. Remember that the Lord's Prayer begins with your kingdom come and your will be done. So this isn't about just our own selfish desires, but we can be sure that when we ask things in Jesus' name, according to his will, that God will provide. And that God will answer and give the gifts, the needs to his children. So let me ask you, are you praying with humble confidence? Are you praying with humble confidence? Are you trusting and expecting that God will hear and respond? Because your prayers are faith-driven. And they're not just for yourself. It's not for selfish motives or selfish glory or gain. It's for the good. It's for what we hope would be God's will. Are we humble to request and present before God and then to wait for his answer as we seek his answer? Finally, Jesus teaches us to pray with humble recognition. Jesus teaches us to pray with humble recognition. Look again with me, if you will, at verses 11 through 13. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, right? So what's Jesus doing here? Remember, he's answering the request of the disciples to help teach them how to pray. And so Jesus is saying, well, pray with humble recognition. In other words, pray knowing who God is. Pray knowing the character of God. Now, this is essential, friends. This is essential that we would be convinced of God's gracious character. Why is it essential? Because life's tough. Because life's hard. Sometimes life doesn't make sense. Sometimes, from our own perspective, we might even say life stinks. We just don't like where things are right now. But we can trust our God. We can trust his character. We can trust his goodness. We can trust that he's orchestrating things according to his plan, and that his plan includes the good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. We can believe these things. Jesus wants us to be convinced of God's good and gracious character. So the son asks for something from the father, right? There's the humility piece. There's the need for something. Right? The son recognizes that he's lacking, that he cannot provide for himself, so he asks. And the point that we see is that it's the father's character to give to the son what is needed and helpful. And that's what God does. He gives to his children what is needed and what is helpful to them. So some of you are aware of this. We've been talking about it for a few weeks at different levels. There's some needs in our church right now. There's some needs in student ministry for volunteers, for leaders. There's some needs in our Sunday night music, children's music programming. There's some needs. And we've been asking God, we've been seeking God, we've been, these leaders, Beth and Gary and Gayla, have been asking people, asking the Lord, and we still have some needs. Maybe God isn't putting it on your heart to go in and to help lead in these areas, to help serve in these areas, to give of your energy and your time for God's glory in these areas, to serve in these capacities. Look, we're trusting that God's going to provide. We believe these are important needs. And we're asking God, so we believe that he will provide. We're expected. And God gives good gifts to his children. And friends, you, some of you are a good gift that God wants to bless other people in this church with. Your influence, your love, your dedication, your care, your concern. So if you haven't been praying about that, I would encourage you to begin to pray through that. And if you're approached or if you have a desire to serve, I know these friends would be happy to hear from you. Gary Hendrickson, Beth Edfelt, or Gayla Walker. But we also need to recognize that God does not give to his children what will harm them. If the child asks for a fish, God's not going to give that child a scorpion. Or if the child needs an egg, God's not going to give that child a snake or a serpent. That's not how it works with him. Not only does God give his children what he knows what is best for them, he withholds and does not give to them what he knows would not be good for them. And sometimes it's very clear. Oh yeah, fish or a serpent? Of course we know the difference. But sometimes we're asking for this, which seems good. And friends, there have been things that I've prayed for in my life for years and years and years, and God has not seen fit to give to me. Okay? That's just the fact. I'm still praying. These aren't bad things. But that's not what God has seen fit to do in my life at this point. It's just not, that's not where it is. Nothing inherently wrong with it. I don't think I'm asking with selfish motives, but that's just where it is. But God withholds for our good. And we need to recognize that. That's why we need to know his character. That's why we need to know his kindness and his graciousness. Now look again at that very end there. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, we might think there's a little bit of a disconnect here. I mean, the kid's just asking for something to eat, and now Luke says, or Luke records Jesus saying, the Father's going to give him the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, that's great, but what about the food? Well, what do we make of this? Daryl Bach, commentator on the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, implies that God gives the best gifts, and the Holy Spirit is the best gift. God knows how to perfectly satisfy those who seek him by giving timely and perfect gifts. James chapter 1 verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. It comes from the one who himself is perfect and good in every way. And the Holy Spirit is the best gift. The Holy Spirit is the best gift. The Holy Spirit is the gift that's been given to everyone in this room who is in Christ. In fact, if you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, then you are not in Christ. Apostle Paul makes that very clear in Romans. The gift of God, the power of God, the energy of God, the wisdom of God, the comforter, the helper, the one who guides us, the one who leads us, the one who helps us to embrace and understand Scripture and truth. This is the perfect gift, the greatest hope. And Jesus wants us to trust our good and gracious Father, who will provide what is best, and who will provide what is best at the right time, even when it doesn't seem like it, because he knows and we don't. So three principles for prayer. And during the rest of our time this morning, we're going to put these principles into practice by humbling ourselves before God, and we're going to be praying together. So here's the plan. In just a few moments, I'm going to introduce a topic of prayer, and then we're going to pray over that topic of prayer for 1 minute. And friends, I want you to have freedom. I want you to pray out loud if you want to. You can pray silently if you want to. You can pray as a family if you want to. You can pray in your seat. You can pray on your knees. You can come up here to these steps and pray. Wherever and however you want to pray, it's okay. We don't have a lot of time, but if you feel impressed that you need to go pray over someone else who you know is struggling right now, then you have freedom to do that just as well. At the end of a minute, we'll close out that topic of prayer and then introduce a new topic. Now, I've asked our staff and their spouses and our church council and their spouses to help us with this, to join us in this time of prayer. Unfortunately, Daniel and Bama Coward are not here this morning, and neither are Mike and Sherilyn Jennings. Tim Peterson, who is one of our interim music leaders, worship leaders, will be leading one of our prayer times as Kim is going to be playing the piano. So here we go. I'm going to introduce topic, then we're going to pray for a minute, and then we'll close it, and then the next topic will be introduced. So first, church, please pray that members of Trinity Baptist Church will increasingly live and love like Jesus, that we would walk by the Spirit, that we would live according to truth, and that we would desire God's glory above all. Lord, that is our desire. It's your desire for us that we would live and love like Jesus, and we don't have the capacity to do that in our own strength. So God, may your Spirit empower us, and may we walk with your Spirit so that you would be glorified as we live and love like Jesus.
Church, please pray that our church family would reach out to members who have become disconnected during the pandemic to show love and support while seeking to encourage them about the importance of worshiping with the church family and being connected to others.
God, we thank you for the church. We thank you for the body of Christ here at Trinity. And God, we know that as believers that we are all connected together and we all need each other, God. So we pray that for those here today, God, that we would continue to see the value and the importance of meeting together for corporate worship, meeting together for Bible study, and meeting together for small groups. And God, for those who we haven't seen in a while, who have maybe become disconnected, we pray that you would begin the process of drawing them back to this fellowship, God, and that we would participate in that process, God, by loving them, by encouraging them, and by inviting them to come back, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Church family, would you pray that we as a church would be actively engaged in sharing the gospel with the lost? That baptisms would become a regular occurrence within our church building, and that the Lord would grow Trinity Baptist Church by adding to us new believers. Lord God, we ask that you would assist us to be faithful in being the hands and feet of Christ. Lord, that we would swiftly take your gospel throughout our cities, our neighborhoods, and our schools. Help us to see the need, and Lord, help us to be faithful with opportunity. Lord, grow us. May we see many people come to faith in Christ. Lord, we trust you with this, and we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Church, please pray that the Lord would strengthen, grow, and expand our children and student ministries, and that God would multiply the number of young families who call TBC their church home.
Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness, Father. And we praise you for your faithfulness in answering our prayers. We pray now, Father, for the children's ministry and the student ministry. I pray you would be with Beth and Gary and all the workers, that you would bless them, that this church would be a place of love and safety, that, Father, the seeds of faith can be planted, nurtured, and grown, Father, all to your glory. Amen.
Church, we ask you to pray to give us wisdom and expectation for the new worship and music pastor. We also ask that you pray for the search team for wisdom and discernment as they continue that search process.
Father, we ask that you give wisdom, patience, and unified vision for the search team as they continue through this process. Lord, we ask that you give steadfastness to the men who are serving in the interim. Lord, we thank you ahead of time for the man that you have ordained to lead our church in worship each Sunday. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Amen.
Church, please pray for our missions ministry and our missionaries serving around the world, and remember our fellow Americans and others suffering in the chaos of Afghanistan.
God, we are humbled and honored Lord, that you would choose us to partner with you in spreading the good news of the gospel. We pray, Lord, in your sovereignty, that you would open up once again to our church, Lord, mission points around the world in Taiwan and Thailand and Peru and other places, that you would allow us to go again. We thank you, Father, for bringing local missions to our doorstep here, Lord, with the garden and with other missions here in Amarillo, that we would be faithful, Lord, in serving in those places. We do lift up, Father, the brothers and sisters in Christ who are in Afghanistan and just the persecution that's going on there. And Father, we pray for your hand to be upon them. Lord, we also pray that you would draw people to you through this chaos, Father, that they would see that there's hope in no other place but Jesus Christ. And Father, that many people would be saved through that. Lord, we pray for a peaceful resolve, Lord, to that conflict. We ask all this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Will you spend time praying for the marriages in our church? That God would strengthen and restore hurting marriages, that he would grow the marriage, and he would protect couples from attacks from the enemy.
Gracious Father, we pray your blessing on the marriages within our church. I pray that your word would sink deep into our hearts, that you would help us to understand how to reflect Christ to each other, to do that well in our marriages, and then that our marriages would present a compelling picture of the gospel to the world around us that is often confused as to what marriage is and what it should be and how it is a picture of the gospel of Christ and his church. We pray these things in Jesus' name.
Church, please pray for families dealing with failing health of our aging parents. Father, I just thank you that you're a God that we can come before and you hear our prayers and you answer them. Lord, I just pray for some of our families that have aging parents that are dealing with many problems. And Lord, there's so many decisions to be made there, and I pray that you give them wisdom, instruction, peace to know how to care for them. Lord, I just thank you for our fathers and mothers that you blessed us with, and we pray that you give them strength in these days that they're ahead of them, and I pray that you cover them with your grace and your mercy and your peace. In Jesus' name.
Church, would you please pray for families who are struggling with kids who have walked away from the Lord and are living in rebellion against God?
Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters who have children who have walked away from the faith. God, give them hope, peace, and patience as only you can. Comfort them as they pray and love their kids. And ultimately, God, we pray that they would see their children reconciled to you for your glory.
Church, please pray for God's grace on our community and our church as it's related to COVID-19 and the circumstances that surround that.
Lord, there are families who are struggling and hurting and confused because of all the things dealing with COVID-19. And God, I pray that in your grace and your mercy, you would cover us, you protect us. Lord, I pray for all of our healthcare workers and our hospitals and our just the medical system here. I pray for people, Lord, that you would protect people from getting the virus and then that you would heal people. And God, there are so many requests that we could bring to you that this morning we just haven't been able to. We haven't had time for. And everyone in this room is dealing with something in their life. It's our prayer together, Lord, that we would humble ourselves and that we draw near to you, that we'd be confident, that we'd be audacious, that we would recognize who it is we're praying to, and that we would trust you. Lord, the things that we prayed for are meaningful, and you told us that you would give us your Spirit. You give your Spirit to those who ask, so we're asking. Hear us, Lord. By your Spirit, help us, Lord. Protect us and strengthen us and energize us. Would you give us grace and would you build up your church here at Trinity Baptist? And would you help us to love truth and to walk in truth and to proclaim truth? Would you do this great work, Lord? Would you do something within us individually and within your church that can only be explained by your power? Would you do that, Lord, for your glory? This is our desire. Amen.